between NDG, at least the first two boroughs, and then try and outreach to Little Burgundy as well. But it's a bit of an uphill battle, but we're still fighting towards it. And it's going to be with a lot of participation from local artists and communities. Two groups, particularly Community and Nomadic Massive, who will be performing and playing music throughout, and also representing. If you don't mind, I'll just read off.
Go for it. Yeah.
These are all youth-oriented projects. A lot of them are under 18. These are kids that are trying to become artists and trying. So we're trying to get, you know, give them a big up and stuff. Project 160, SOW, Mazzarelli, Jakumbai, Address B Wanted, Seize Rock, Royal Peasants, Implosion, Casa, Homicide, Blurva, Johnny Hostile. Those are all older people. Community, bunch of old guys. Nomadic Massive too.
So they're going to be performing at this event?
Yeah, with more established artists from the communities as well.
So it's a good chance for young people to get a big exposure.
And intermingling as well. And we're trying to just create a space as well where kids can... It's the same principle behind a drop-in center, but it's more geared towards the arts and artistic expression. Where it seems to be at a deficit. And unfortunately, on top of that, you know, hip-hop as a subculture... as much as it's in the mainstream, in terms of mainstream institutional understanding of the culture, it's you're dealing with the most backwards interpretations of it. Where you're, if you're a youth worker and I grew up with hip hop culture, right. So I never feel like I've ever had to justify it until I really started to try and create outreach programs or percussion workshops, beat making workshops, freestyle workshops, and trying to explain the necessity of it, I guess, or even just the need to have it as an alternative to Canadian history class, which is, some of these kids have textbooks from 1976, before Canada was even a country, quote unquote, before we had our constitution ratified. Yeah. So there's a lot of real backwards things going on in Quebec, and it's affecting all of us and our understanding of where we are as peoples and as a country. And we have a lot of, as much as it's backwards, we also have a lot of benefits. And we're blessed. We have water. We have drinking water. We can drink from the tap. That's a big one. I have family members that don't have that live on the streets in Argentina. So it's important to think that we have a lot of blessings, so we got to do something about it. And that's what we're trying to teach these kids, and using positive ways of doing it instead of, you know, gangbanging and selling rocks to get your Avirex jacket so you look fresh on the street. That's not really all that.
Right.
And hip-hop and music in general is also just such a huge medium of communication that it seems like a perfect environment to kind of bridge that gap between communication and exposure. And
yeah, and we're not trying to dumb it down either, which is where on the mass media level, it's just what it's been. It's easy.
Commercial product.
Yeah, and that's where such as like racial profile, like a suburban white father comes from, say, EBCB, who never really saw any black youth. All his kids are wearing baggy pants and they listen to 50 Cent, like, and that's his only exposure to black culture. That's pretty dismal, you know. Like, there's a responsibility to show all sides, and it's not to say that the 50 Cents of the world aren't there. I mean, they are, and just like the KKK is there, and just like power private interest groups and lobbies make the world the way that they choose fit. So as long as we can see all tables and we give an opportunity for everybody, especially the younger generations, to make an educated hypothesis about how they're going to approach their life, then I'd think the world would be a better place.
Right. So why don't you just give, again, just some details about where and when and how much this event is.
All right. Yeah, that's pretty important, eh?
Yeah.
So it's the 17th of December. It's at 7 o'clock, and the address is 6767 Côte de Neige. The tickets are $2 for the kiddies and $5 for the adults. And last but not least, as Master Zibs pointed out, it's a dedication to my main man, Haider Kadim, a.k.a. Jiggy, who was a survivor of the Dawson shooting incident, who's also a member of this community. So we're trying to link up kids and just touch base on kids that, you know, sometimes they just end up on the streets because they're not feeling anything, because you can't even go to schools anymore sometimes.
All right, so I hope a lot of people go down to the event and hear what people have to say, and
I hope so too.
How the artists, the young artists, are expressing their realities through music and through hip hop.
And as well, if anybody's interested in seeing what this kind of youth work is about, you know, we need an influx of people with talent and people with a big heart, and it's important.
So how can people, if they're interested in volunteering or in participating, how can they go about doing that?
I mean, a first step is just going to a community center in your local neighborhood. Everybody has a head office, and they have pamphlets and stuff. If you want to outreach to, I mean, your community, where you live is the best part to start. And even if it's a rich community, I mean, you have problems there.
Yeah.
There's social problems, there's racial problems. You can start any kind of program if you have time and interest, then it's really important to try and do it.
All right, thank you for joining us, Nicolas.
You're very welcome.
And now we're going to turn to François, who's with the Collective Opposing Police Brutality here in Montreal. And we actually spoke to him last week on Off the Hour. He was at the vigil that was commemorating the death of Mohamed Anas Benes, who was killed under very mysterious circumstances 1 year ago in an incident with Montreal police. Welcome, François.
Hi, thanks.
So why don't you tell us a bit about what the case of Mohamed Anas Benes is and what happened and some of the issues surrounding it.
Okay. Well, we know that Mohamed Anas Benes, who was 25-year-old from Morocco, but he was living in Montreal, he was shot and killed with two bullets, one straight to his heart by a Montreal police officer called Yanis Bernier of Station 25. And it happened at 7:20 in the morning. Just before that, Mohamed went to the mosque. He left the mosque at 6:30. Mm. And where he was killed, there was a big police operation involving the SQ, arresting some people from Algeria. So it was a fraud case, but because they're from Algeria, of course, they were saying that it's linked to international terrorism. And Mohamed had a beard, and he was dressed as a Muslim with a turban and a jellaba.
Very traditional dress.
So yeah. We don't know exactly what happened between the 6:30 and 7:20 when he was killed, because the police won't tell us anything. Their version is that he took out a kitchen knife and for no reason stabbed the officer twice before the officer pulled out his gun and killed him, mm-hmm. in self-defense, right? But they didn't show the knife. They didn't show the wounds of the officer. They didn't show the video cameras that were filming the scene. And they're hiding even the police report of the events. So this leads us to believe that the police saw him. And it's also Bernier. He's a 25 too, the officer who killed him. So he doesn't have a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. But he saw this Muslim going by in his neighborhood, and he must have shot before he asked questions, you know. And so we're campaigning for to have a public inquiry into this incident, and the Montreal police won't tell us anything. And last month, the Quebec Justice Minister said there won't be any accusation against the officer. So they're basically clearing them of all charge and enforcing the cover-up on this story, too.
That's ridiculous, because I would think that if the officer was aiming and firing out of self-defense, when you shoot someone in the heart, like, you're trained. You know how to point and aim that gun. And you don't just shoot someone in the heart and get it on target without the intent, I don't think, of killing them. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, is absolutely ridiculous, because... Sorry, that just brings home, because I had a friend who was shot, and he was shot in the heart, and it's just, it's, to me, when you're killed in that circumstance, I mean, the person who's doing it knows what they're doing, so that, to me, is completely ludicrous.
Yeah, there's a lot of things they could have done different, and also, if the story is so clear, like they say, why are they hiding everything? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense.
Right. So what is the reaction? You went to the vigil last week. What was the reaction amongst the family and amongst community members to, the death, obviously, and also the continued police silence surrounding the matter?
Yeah, basically, it's a cover-up. Yeah. Well, in last January, there was a demonstration organized by the community where about 1,000 people showed up, which is a really good turnout, because the Muslim community doesn't often go out in protests.
Yeah.
But the vigil, on December 1st this year. We had the worst weather that we could have for a demo. Yeah. There was 20 millimeter of icy rain that was falling down. Yeah. So still 20 people showed up for our vigil. Mm-hmm. Also people from La Otra Campaña who do support with the people in Oaxaca in Mexico. And people from Solidarity Across Borders who support refugees here in Montreal. And the father came to our vigil too to thank people for getting there. And there was also another vigil the next day organized more by the community mm-hmm. where about 50 people showed up. So people are still wanting a public inquiry to know the truth, what happened.
So the issue is going to continue being thrown in the face of the people who committed this act?
The father filed a complaint with the Police Ethics Commission. So we'll see what happens with that. Probably that's the next step that's going to wait for news in that. But Mohamed Anas is really not the first case of police killing mm-hmm. and cover-up and clearing of police officer. We remember in this neighborhood in NDG in 2004 in February, Rohan Wilson was killed by Montreal police, and still we don't have I don't think there's been any charges against the officers or anything like that. From what I know, I don't even know the names of the officers involved. I don't know if that was ever released. But we remember also before that, it's nothing new, but like in 1991, when Marcellus François was shot and killed by Michel Tremblay of the SWAT, his defense was, well, you know, all black people look the same to me. And they were looking for a suspect, black, but with short hair. And Marcellus François had dreadlocks. So, you know, it's... It's the same story that's continuing now. And during the 90s, when the police were training, they were shooting at pictures of black people.
Really?
And that was denounced by black police officers. But maybe now with the war on terror, they have changed and they put instead a picture of Muslim people. Yeah. But it's the same thing that's going on.
So how did you get involved with the collective opposing police brutality?
Myself?
Yes.
Well, I started to get involved around 2001. Myself, I was arrested at protests because for the last 10 years or so, there's been more than 2,600 arrests in protests. And the Montreal police specialize in what they call mass arrest, where they just circle up and round up everybody that's out at the demo. Mm-hmm. For example, on March 15, 2002, they arrested 371 protesters at the protest against police brutality that we have every year. So that's how personally I got involved. But the cases, we have people calling us every week with cases of abuse. There's many more people that don't call us, but I'm sure there's tons of abuse that happen. And the problem is the police have impunity. Even when they kill people, first we don't. In many cases, we don't even know their names, or when we know it, there's no charges. And when there's charges laid, often they, more than a, then not they get acquitted, so they never spend any time in jail or nothing, while people, just because they're black or they're Muslim, they spend years in detention and they're found guilty even before there's a trial. But the police officer, it's the opposite. They never get charged with nothing, even though they kill people.
I just saw in the newspaper today, actually, that the Montreal police are initiating a three-year plan, an internal investigation into police brutality and racial profiling. I was wondering if you could comment on that.
You saw that today?
That was today. It was announced this morning.
I didn't read these papers today, but we'll see what happens. But, you know, the Police Ethics Commission, it's supposed to help stop police brutality, mm-hmm. but in most cases, they just protect the police officers and they try to not do an inquiry. They try to send it through conciliation. Where it's basically just not doing the trial and saying I'm sorry and forgetting the case. So we'll see, but the government is protecting the police, mm-hmm. the police is protecting themselves, and so if we want to have real change, it needs to come from below. The communities, people have to organize themselves to defend their rights and to put pressure on the authorities to first have the killer cops taken off the streets, because Bernier, from what we know, he's still in the police, mm-hmm. so probably he's still carrying his gun, and in we don't know if he's still in the same neighborhood or what, but it's really dangerous. Also, Dominique Chartier, a cop who killed in 1989, he killed Yvon Lafrance, and he was the partner of the cop who killed Martin Suazo in during the 90s, and he's still wearing a blue uniform and abusing people.
Okay, well, unfortunately, we're running a bit out of time, but thank you for joining us, François, and telling us about your experiences.
Okay, thanks to you.
So we'll be right back. We'll be back on Off the Hour exploring racial profiling after a short musical break.
Yo, you sent out the signal, right? And this is what happened. The voice of hip-hop got heard. Never compromised. This is how we put it down. Come on.
Throughout my thug life, I've seen the most tripe. Like to flighting over the roll of dice. Flash your whole life. We're killers full of ice. Soldier tight. Get both the guys. Sit over the pole of Christ. You're both the slice. From cast, aim, and cast to shoulder height. Told you right. She be the one to come and hold a mic. And aim it at the whole vice squad. The shot patrol of nights. Rolling like every prototype. Was Dolomite. One man be cold as ice. Inside a gun hand, he holds
this
the life.
This for those who pose in their grave. Yeah. Waiting for their peace when the law misbehave. I say we fall deep. Watch them walk the beat. Like you can't cross streets. Make them all retreat. Nah. Judges and a jury be a little too acquainted. Yeah. Ending up defendants when we supposed to be the plaintiffs. Laugh now, cause soon the thrill stops. When heads get it on, it starts to kill cops.
I'm sober, they pull me over. What I do,
what
yo?
What we do, yo?
Po-po go, I'm driving too slow. Cool, yo. Eyes torn them, exploring them. Damn. Four of them, that's why I'm ignoring them.
Uh-oh.
Think quick, brain like King Skip before they bring this to some riding king. Forget them fools.
Nah, make no sudden moves. They reaching for they tools.
Let's move.
Bugging dudes. Kirk, you ran a stop. Word them pigs frontin'. Don't tell like it's something, cousin. We ain't
yo.
Did nothing.
All they see is three blacks in a Jeep with seats back. Looking for G-packs. Out the blood dog and eat that. They thirst to find a reason to blast. You can't beat that. Gats in a badge to match. You can't beat that. So bounce on.
And let's all get down. We got to have one. Love, peace, and understanding. One law, one love, one life. One aim, one voice, one fight. My people unite. I hop up into a ride. We got to have one. Love, peace, and understanding.
And there's more to follow. It's even deeper than that. Pinnell shot in the back. Forever we fighting cuss, but the world still adjusts. So many bullets just to stop one man. Is that the plan? To leave us all dead in the street? Nah.
I'm an opponent of violence. Too many of my guys have become moments of silence. Lord, take lives and condone it through sirens and night sticks. I write quick, hoping that I might hit somebody in the heart.
Like an arrow with our eyes on a sparrow. Yo, I feel my people pain all in my bone marrow.
I'm telling Pharaoh to let my folks go. Marsh is singing to law like they background vocals.
Local, state, federal cops will be paid properly to protect the property. How can I just stand by, watch a man die for nothing and not react? The way we spit on this track is how we bust it back.
Yo, I pimp slap 5-0. Get behind them and make the march drive slow.
Yo, you wanna know how to improve on the quality of life? Try respecting it. Step in my zone with
cops,
that madness and I'm checking
from
it.
Long Island to Medina with the up demeanor. Dreaming of sticking it to me like Abner Louima. Pharaoh slash El Hajj Malik Shabazz in the flesh with plans of retaliation for you coward. God, please allow me to preach for him. A voiceless man through his spirit, I speak for him. Step to City Hall for Delft, through it for Dola with visions of cops inside the public enemy logo.
All that scheming and plotting, the young absorb like cotton, especially in my city where the poor steady rotting. And you would thought 5-0 would cut it all short, but they play the biggest part in the art of living wrong. In our land, cops' guns clap more than hands, as if we don't deserve what they're here to preserve. We just trying to do it right in these boroughs that we reppin' in, while they trying to fill us with more lead than Zeppelin.
People united, let's all get down. We got to have one, love, peace, and understanding.
Could you give a brief description of what racial profiling is?
Profiling, it's all about the way you look, the way you are, your skin color maybe sometime, how tall you are, how weight, judging a book by its cover.
Has this ever happened to you?
Well, yeah, I'm in a basketball team, and before we had a game, we were walking to this metro there. This cop was looking at us. We didn't do nothing wrong. We were smiling and joking around. He came and started asking us, like, what's in our bags, and because it was kind of cold, so we were all dressed like with a winter jacket and stuff, and accidentally it's all black. Mm-hmm. And he started asking us like, what's in our bags and why we're in groups? Do we have, you know, drugs on us or something, or some kind of arms and everything?
Okay, how did that make you feel?
Well, honestly, I think it's not smart. I think it's kind of stupid because, like, if you have no reason to come and stop us, why would you do it? Because what? Because we're a different college and everything? It's just about judging, yeah, by their appearance.
Okay, why, like you said it, but I'm going to ask you the question again. Why do you think racial profiling happens?
Usually because it's just us, humans. We usually, like, stick to our kinds. We don't go to others. They don't like what they're not. You get it?
Right.
I don't think it's ever gonna end, because there's always gonna be people judging other people. There's always gonna be some high class and low class. People are not living the life as the rest. We're not living the same life. Some people are living in some neighborhoods that have troubles and everything. Some people live high class.
Cool. How does this affect your community?
Us teenagers, it doesn't affect us that much because just make us stronger. We know what we are. We don't need to listen to what they say, you know? Us, we usually don't care. We know we didn't do nothing wrong, so we're just doing what we gotta do.
Is there anything else you wanna add in to this interview?
Cops, if you see us, try to not stop us.
Okay, yeah. One last question. Do you feel that you know your rights when cops come up to you and stalk you?
Well, if a cop come to me and start checking me, first of all, I stay calm because I can't do nothing against them. That's the thing. Simply ask them, like, you know, why you're arresting me? Because I can't do nothing about it. If you do something, you're always going to be wrong, because usually we don't win against cops.
Welcome back to Off the Hour on CKUT 90.3 and also on CKUT.ca on the internet. We're broadcasting live from the Jeunesse 2000 Youth Drop-In Center in NDG for a special two-hour event where we're exploring racial profiling. And we're joined now by Rashad, who's a youth worker here at Jeunesse 2000. Hi. So Rashad, you actually came in a few months ago in CKUT to do a show called Breakdown.
Yeah, I did.
Did a little freestyle session there, and what have you been up to since then?
Pretty much only school. I would have liked to continue the show, but I had too much schoolwork to do and so forth, so.
All right, so why don't you talk a bit about your experiences as a youth worker and some the experiences of maybe some of the people that you know, for example, that you brought into the studio last time, and other stories like that.
Okay, well, like mainly the people I brought into the studio last time were some of the people I make music with. And they're all people that, you know, have grown up in NDG or Cadinej and have been through what we've been talking about for the whole time we've been here today. Mm-hmm. Today I have with me Hader Kadim, which is one of the victims from the Dawson shooting.
Yes.
Do you want me to elaborate on anything else?
Sure. What on day-to-day basis, how does this affect you, and or how have you seen this affect other people around you?
Well, I mean, I've had personal experiences myself. One not too long ago, when I was outside Dawson, mm-hmm. waiting for class, and I had mentioned this actually on the breakdown, but since
we'll talk about it,
yeah, I'll bring it up. Me and my friend Arkady were just in his car. And when we were there, a cop car just came and parked right in front of us, and you know, we didn't think nothing of it. And then 5 minutes later, after being just parked there and not doing anything, they came towards the car and asked us for our ID. I still don't know why they asked us what we were doing. I said we were waiting for class, whatever. And I didn't think nothing of it at the time, but right after, he said, one of the cops, when he asked me if I could go to class now and not be in the car anymore, said, where are you from? And I found that to be a very irrelevant question right. at the time, you know, yeah. just because...
Was apropos of nothing.
Yeah, you know. And then I told him it's an irrelevant question, and I didn't feel comfortable answering. And it's just like, no, I just need to know who I'm dealing with and stuff like that. So finally, I ended up telling him I was Lebanese, and Arkady, my other friend, ended up telling him he was Russian as well. Mm-hmm. I took the officer's name down and everything, but I never really did anything of it just because I didn't really see, maybe nothing would have happened, probably. Right. Nothing would have came out of it, me going and, you know, putting a...
Like filing a report.
Yeah, filing a report against him. I just wouldn't have seen the point.
Okay, so can you talk maybe about, you said you were a musician, mm-hmm. and do you deal with some of these issues in your music? What do you do with that?
Well, definitely, I think I'm very inspired by what I see going around in my community, in the society in Montreal. I prefer not to rap about like stuff like 50 Cent mm-hmm. and maybe what's more commercial these right. days and what's always put on television and what's heard on the radio. And I find that that's what I do. My group of friends, we never really go off on that right. sort of tip, yeah. but I mean, more conscious than that, you know?
Right, so more speaking about day-to-day reality and yeah. using your music as a vehicle to express
for
that.
For sure. Especially through the center too, when we have our music room and we try to encourage youth as much as possible to go in there. We have lyric writing workshops. We just encourage them to maybe not go towards the same direction that maybe the media wants them to go.
Right.
What they could make the most money off of, and just maybe be more conscious than that.
All right. So in terms of the music that people come in and do, what do you see happening there?
Well, recently, I mean, the music room has been an on and off kind of service we've had here. But recently it's been getting really, really, really jam packed and mm-hmm. people have been coming through. And not to say that everyone that's coming in here is rapping about conscious stuff.
For sure.
But yeah. as long as they're being creative in any sort of way, we try to encourage that as much as possible.
Great. So now I'd like to speak to Haider. Hi, how are you?
Hi, nice to.
Thanks for coming in. And so you were a survivor of the Dawson shooting that took place a few months ago.
Yeah.
How are you doing now?
I'm doing better, like taking one day at a time. Physically, I'm almost completely recovered.
Good.
It's just some of the anger and some of the flashbacks still come mm-hmm. back. But other than that, I'll be okay.
All right. So do you have some experiences that you could share vis-a-vis racial issues, discrimination, profiling?
Really lately, no. But back in the days when I was still in high school and I was, mm-hmm. you know, kind of causing a little bit of trouble, mm-hmm. I was exposed to racial profiling. But see, what happens is that the cops, as soon as you see a different reaction just because he's an immigrant or not from the country, that's my definition of racial profiling, because no matter how a person looks, where he's from, it shouldn't be any different reaction. Right. You should treat him the same way you treat any person from their culture. So that's what I call racial profiling, and it is pretty obvious here in Montreal.
Could you give some examples of stuff that you've seen? Or?
Well, me and my my boys, every, like usually in summer, we have some place to be, and we're all just hanging out and just chatting and whatever. And it's very close to a cop station, mm-hmm. unfortunately. And we're just sitting there sometimes not doing harm to anybody. We're always just, there's some cops that come, just ask questions. To be specific, like our group is literally multicultural. Like we have Latinos, we have black people, we have Arabs, and that's probably the reason why we get so, you know, exposed to police asking questions. And even back in the days, I was at a school, and just something was happening there, but mm-hmm. we had nothing to do with it, and. We were being asked questions, like Rashad said, like where are you from? Mm-hmm. Don't speak Arab between you two, or you know, like speak English, like that we understand what you're saying. I mean, we're allowed to speak whatever language we want to speak, yeah. And they arrested us at the time. After that, after we were arrested and handcuffed, we started speaking in our own language. So they weren't happy with that, but I don't find any right for them to tell us to speak the language they want us to speak. And I find that was one of the most obvious racial profiling I had.
I'd just like to bring up sure. the night of the Dawson shooting. when we had come back from the hospital, when we were waiting to see Hader, we went to that spot he was talking about right next to the police station, and we had gone to pick up our friend who had came down from Calgary because he had heard of what happened. Mm-hmm. And, okay, I'll admit maybe we were maybe like 15 deep or something. We were okay, a pretty big bunch, but we weren't causing any harm. We were just, you know, trying to recap on the whole day, on the events that happened and everything. It was the same night of the Dawson shooting. And one cop car rolls up by where we were, which, by the way, not like surprisingly, even though the cop station is very close to that spot.
Where is that spot, just by the way?
Confederation Park.
Okay.
Which is right next to old high school. We both went to St. Luke, like Anita was talking about before, about St. Luke. We could tell you it is very multicultural. It is like what you hear about it, I guess. But anyways, we were maybe like 15 of us there at Confederation Park. And one cop car rolls up and it just comes, puts on those big lights, you know, so we're all blinded or whatever. And then as soon as they got out of the car, I saw like another two cars roll up. Like, it was like five at the end of the night. And we told them, like, we just got off, came from the hospital, and we just, you know, we're trying to get our mind state right after what happened today. And we all gave Dawson College ID, so they knew we were students. Yeah. But they still saw a reason, I guess, to come and ask us to ID ourselves and what are we doing here. It was maybe after like the park was closed, possibly. I'm not even sure at the time anymore. But I mean, still, it's not like we were causing harm. It's not like we were doing anything. We were just
talking.
Because we had just brought our friend in from Calgary. You know, we're just trying to, go through the events of the day or whatever.
And speaking of the Dawson shooting, as I remember from the all the reports that I would see on the news, and I was asking myself the question, okay, the guy, the shooter was, I think he was Indian, I don't know, I can't remember. But I was asking myself the question, what if he was a black person, or what if he was Arab, what would they label him as? And I'm pretty sure, well, since I'm being an Arab, I'm pretty sure if that person, that shooter, was an Arab, even though he shot me, I was an Arab also, he would have probably been labeled a terrorist just for the simple fact that he's Arabic. Yeah. So I was just asking myself this question.
All right, well, thanks for coming in, guys, and talking to us about all your troubles. And maybe if we have time, we'll get some rap going on.
Thanks.
I don't know. We'll try to get some youth in here and... different people give their own stories and their own testimonies. But before we do that, Shannon, you've got some stories that you have to read? Or?
Yeah, these are two stories that were from an initiative of Head and Hands, which is the Young Parents Program. So I guess these are two stories by two young women that had reported their experiences with sexism and the police. And the first experience that we're talking about comes from Lavessa. I hope I've said her name correctly. And... her story says, at a festival, I got slapped in the face by some guy. I started yelling at him because I don't have to take that shit from anyone. Before I knew it, a bunch of other guys were all holding me down. Then suddenly, four cops rushed towards me and slammed me into a fucking wall. I tried to tell them that it was the guys who were hurting me, but they wouldn't listen to what I had to say. They arrested me and took me to jail, where they ripped off part of my shirt and slammed my head into a desk. I kept calling them women abusers. Not that it made a difference. By the end of it, I was covered in bruises. And the outcome of that was that she was charged with a $110 fine for disturbing the peace. The second story that we're going to read comes from Annie, and it says, I used to be a big tomboy. I'd wear big khaki pants with my boxers showing and a beater. One day I was hanging around waiting for the bus when the cops came and arrested me. They took me to the back of their car and called my mom to say that I was breaking the law and wearing a mini skirt. They were just trying to humiliate me. They wanted us to be crazy so that we would react to them provoking us. My mom didn't believe me, and I was grounded for the entire summer. The only thing I had in my backpack was homework, but it didn't matter. And the outcome for that was a $500 charge for vandalism. So those are just two stories of many, I'm sure, that... youth and children and adults alike are probably faced with by the police force in Montreal and other cities around the world. So right now we're going to open discussion up to some of the youth here at the center, and first up is, sorry, I didn't catch your name. You want to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Billy.
And how old are you?
I'm 13.
So do you live here or close to the center?
Yeah, well, I live in NDG.
Okay, and what's your experience with racial profiling? And?
Well, I mean, it happens every day since I was a kid. You know, I'm black, and I would dress, you know, like a skater punk, and I would listen to punk rock, and people would just, they wouldn't understand the fact that I would be black and, you know, not act like the rest of people, especially in my neighborhood. You know, I'm pretty close to the ghetto. And, you know, people would just laugh at me, and I would be the laughingstock of the street just because I would skate.
That's actually a similar experience to my 14-year-old cousin. And he goes through the same thing at his high school right now, and he gets a lot of flack for not being into hip-hop and being a skater. So you're not alone. But have you ever felt then that you had to change, like, your preferences in music?
No, because, well, at a certain point, yes, because I'm also half white. And, you know, people would be like, oh, well, maybe we should understand him. But I would just go home and start crying. And I would be like, why don't they understand the fact that, you know, I like different style of music. And I skateboard. I really felt that I had to change. But, you know, I just thought to myself, no, I shouldn't change because they want me to change. But, you know, it just sort of came naturally. And I started, you know, I stopped skating, started wearing new clothes.
Does that ever make you upset?
Sorry?
Does it make you upset that you've changed, or do you just feel like it's been a natural progression?
No, because I decided that myself, you know, nobody forced me to do it, so it's okay for me.
Okay. And do you have any other experiences with, you know, racial profiling or expectations maybe of who you should be because of the way you look?
No, not really.
No?
No.
Is there anyone else who wants to share a story with us? You guys don't need to be shy. Okay, up next, do you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Miran. I'm 13 years old, and yeah.
Okay, and what are some experiences that you've had?
In fact, when I was in primary school, I was like in fourth grade. I was in third grade, and I was in a new school because I changed school. At first, like when I came to Montreal, I was in second. I was in a school like far away from here, and then I changed school. I came down near close by here, so like some people start calling me names, you know, because like I wasn't like most of the people in my school used to be white and black, and like I was like kind of one of brown people down there, so you know, they start calling me names and stuff. So I was like, you know, I got used to it, but after that kind of got fed up a bit, you know, because people calling me names, that's not really.
What was your reaction to the frustration?
Like, at first, I was like, you know, like, I was like, whatever, just let them tell me whatever I want. But since, like, 3 years after they're still doing that, I got kind of pissed off.
And did you, like, I don't know, did you lash out towards the people that were
like, there was one of those kids, like, used to, like, really, really piss me off. I boxed him out. And it wasn't very nice.
But it was just, like, you'd
yeah,
reached the breaking point.
Yeah, because I was, like, enough of it.
So what do you think then, what do you think are some ways that you can maybe bridge that gap? Because I think there's also kind of, there's the idea that people who are, like, there's the minorities and not minorities, but then I think there's people forget often that, like, you can be of a minority and it doesn't make you the same as somebody else who's from a different minority. And so you're not going to have the same experiences, and you might even not connect on the same level. So how do you feel that maybe you could bridge that with people who are, you know?
I seriously don't know.
You don't know? Other than boxing them in the face?
No, but at first, you know, I tried to talk to them. Like, I was like, you know what, like, well, maybe I'm not the same color as you, but whatever, I'm still a human being.
Yeah.
You know, but they didn't understand. Then, like, the last thing to do, I tried to talk with adults. It didn't work. The last thing I had to do, it was box them out.
I think, I think there's a huge responsibility on behalf of, like, adults in the community that it really needs to be to educate and inform youth, because just getting back even to what we were talking about earlier in the program regarding schools and where kids are placed in schools, and even getting into the issue of racial profiling in the police force. I mean, who grows up to become members of the police force, right? And so if we don't educate kids and teach them understanding and respect at a young age, then they're going to grow up. And it's like we can say that, yeah, we don't accept racial profiling in our system, in the police force, but if it's ingrained in someone's belief and in their upbringing, then it doesn't really matter whether we accept it or not. It comes forward. So I think that education for kids should be one of our biggest concerns. But what's your situation then at school, if I can ask?
Like now, like I'm in sec one, but it's not going bad. But at first, like at the beginning of the year, I had like some beef with some people, you know. Like at first, I didn't want to fight and stuff, but like they're like pushing me like to fight them. So at last, I really had to fight them.
And what's been the reaction of teachers or people?
Like, teachers didn't know. Like, there was, like, some people from J2000 knew that I had a fight, you know? Like, so they came up to me and they were like, what happened and stuff. So I told them what happened. So after that, they were like, that is seriously not funny. So, you know, I was like, you know, what happened, it happened.
Okay, so I don't know. I guess there's a couple. No? No one else wants to go? Okay, so maybe now we're going to cut to some music and come back for another discussion with some more youth here at the Jeunesse 2000. And that's coming up next. We'll continue our discussion on racial profiling here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. Stand clear, done, man. Atop. You can't stand where I stand. You can't walk.
Profile is just when you look at, like, by example, another race taking another race in consideration by saying like he's not up to it or whatever. Like when you see somebody from a different race, you think wrong of the person and you already have a main idea. Like by example, oh, he's black, oh, he has to listen to rap or whatever.
Okay, has this ever happened to you?
Well, yeah, like a couple of times. Like by example, you know, got arrested because we're probably three walking on the sidewalk. And they said, oh, you guys are supposed to be less than two or whatever. And after one of my friends just stepped on the grass and he had a ticket because of it. And he was like, okay, look, like everybody's walking on the grass. And the cop just went like, oh, just because that we saw you guys, that's why we're giving you the ticket.
Is there any other situation you want to talk about?
Well, basically, yeah, when I got arrested, because I was driving and I guess just because like he saw a kid behind the wheel or whatever, like a black, he arrested me and started saying, oh, what are you doing like in this neighborhood or whatever? I said, oh, was a party going on? And they were asking questions, where's the party? And I didn't want to give out information. And they say, if I don't, I'll get arrested for it. And yeah.
How did that particular incident situation make you feel?
I don't know, I was just pissed off, I guess. That's all. I only had anger. That's it.
Why do you think racial profiling happens?
Well, it happens because of young kids that are acting stupid. That's it. That's all I could say, guys. It's true. It's just like some group of kids, like they give a bad image to like a race or whatever by doing stupid stuff, by like going to the store, stealing, and since they already got their own dress code, so people think, oh, just because he has the same dress code that he has to do the same thing or has to be a gangster because he listens to rap or whatever, you know.
What will it take for a racial profiling to stop?
It won't stop. Straight up, it won't stop. Because, yo, people are stubborn, guys. It's like that. You have to live with it, I guess, man. Be lucky if you don't get caught in it, I guess, but can't stop, won't stop. That's just the way it is.
What do you mean by getting caught in it?
Like, getting caught in it, like following the same image that like a wrong person is giving you. For example, the hip hop culture right now is, you know, losing it by, you know, like when you're hip hop, you have to be a gangster, like I'm saying, because gangster rap is the popular thing right now. You know, now kids, just because they're seeing it on television, they're following it, so just don't get caught in it by not following it. That's what I mean.
What will it take for a racial profiling to stop?
It won't stop. Straight up, it won't stop. Because, yo, people are stubborn, guys. It's like that. You have to live with it, I guess, man. Be lucky if you don't get caught in it, I guess, but can't stop, won't stop. That's just the way it is.
What do you mean by getting caught in it?
Like, getting caught in it, like following the same image that like a wrong person is giving you. For example, the hip hop culture right now is, you know, losing it by, you know, like when you're hip hop, you have to be a gangster, like I'm saying, because gangster rap is the popular thing right now. You know, now kids, just because they're seeing it on television, they're following it. So just don't get caught in it by not following it. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Do you think like white kids that are into hip hop culture are getting stopped and harassed by the cops any more than any other kid?
Yeah, of course, man, because of the dress code. Like, it ain't because that he's not black that, yo, he won't get arrested. If the man's wearing a bandana or, you know, just for his style, of course he'll get arrested. Like, I'm not saying he'll get arrested all the time, but like the cops will have like a look on him before like another kid right beside him who's dressed like normally or, you know. Yeah.
So if he's black and he's wearing a suit and tie, they won't stop him?
If he's black and he's wearing a suit and tie,
yeah.
They ask, yo, they'll stop him because, yo, they'll be like, yo, where did you get that, man? Straight up. Yo, how much did it cost or whatever, you know.
So it's not necessarily because it's about the culture.
Yeah, dress code and culture, but basically more the culture than the dress code, of course.
Welcome back to CKUT 90.3. You're listening to a special edition of Off the Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Jeunesse 2000 Youth Center in NDG. And now we're going to have some youths spouting some verse. Who's up first? No. Tri-Boy? All right. You're going to give us some knowledge?
Yeah, you're up.
Go ahead. Step up, my brother.
Go for it. No time like the present. Tri-Boy is feeling a little shy, guys. So, who else? Come on, step up to the mic. Demonstrate your skills. Rashad?
I go first, and then Tri-Boy will hopefully.
Rashad's gonna break the ice.
Can you do that?
Rashad's going to break the ice right now.
All right, I'll break the
ice. Know if we have a beat ready for him or not, but...
No, it's okay.
Forget no, you're beat. Just going to do it raw. All right, go for it.
All right. Yo, if I let go, shit will happen, fall apart. But now I need my time, relax, the young get hot. It's deep, so I keep the sack of trees not too far. It works wonders on the spot, but will it ease me at all? Abundant like a sunset, will I rise just to fall? I'm one man with one chance to beat all the odds. As a youth, what I wanted, all the others, they had it. Now I'm all grown up, and the one with bad habits. God damn it, I accept life, so expect death. I'm high, but I'm Muslim with the beads around my neck. So I'm rusty on the edges when I'm heading down the length. And I'm grooving to the music, so improving on the reg. These questions in my head, they are matters of respect. I pinpoint my friends and care less about the rest. The ink void my pen will inject me with the strength that I need to relieve all the stress from what they said. I try not to care, but it flashes like flares, almost blinding me, and it keeps me unaware. They said I moved up, but I can't believe it. See the same two trunks every evening when I'm sleeping, dreaming life's uneven and my time has been wasted. I never look back, so I always have to face it. I try to be low-key, but I'm a walking contradiction. Lift my lashes higher just to get the bigger picture.
Awesome. Beautiful. Who's next? Who's our next?
We all are different till they get to us. Classism, racism, capitalism. Better? Who's to judge? Poisoned by the perm, short term, light skin, dark skin. People in position manipulating sin, money work hard. Whose system? Tell me how they became so rich. Who had to play the bitch, the slave, the maid, the minimum wager? Who had hopes of becoming a doctor? To help the people, education should be like in Cuba. But people think it's bad because of lack of toilet paper and they can't go to America. The kill of all values and culture. Yes, you got to be strong. Will addict you like a crackhead. Want another hit, beat down like Lebanon. Exterminating maneuver like in Sudan. You say, yeah, why aren't we giving our brothers and sisters a hand? But they make you feel it's not your concern. It's over there and you too busy with your own problems. Trying to get rich, chasing the dragon, impotent sense, clouded lens. Sorry, is counterproductive to action taken by blood right to rule the world through ignorance and desperation, following Satan. Well, it's not sanity. One world currency, policing our different needs and situation. It's lockdown, age of information, Gestapo bourgeois in every nation. Free, as they take away your liberty. So that's why I'm not sing no simi dimi. Who next?
Wow.
No beat.
Go for it.
All right, they're getting a little too deep. Me, I'm going to be more on the street level, you know?
All right.
So I go, nowadays everybody wants to be a big shot. Sick watch, thinking that they pimping because they chick's hot. Acting like a businessman, always in your hip top. Acting like you're flipping crack, but you only flip-flop. Fakers make me laugh like Chris Rock. In acting, you suck. If you don't, then you lick cocks. Warning that he armed and already got his clip cocked. But they're pussy and horny, so they only got their clit popped. Who cares if your ring floss or how much your kicks cost? You're like a salad because you're dressed in a thick sauce. You click soft, and that's why you think you're the big boss. Every day you struggling, not hustling like Rick Ross. One gun, two twos, three, four fifths, and six Glocks. Kid, stop. There will never be another Big Pac. It's the influence on who's into this hip hop. We just gotta constipate it and have all that shit stop.
All right. That was Hader. Anyone else got the guts to step up to the mic?
No one can even see you.
This is on the radio, guys. This is your big debut.
There's no freestyling. It's all verses.
People are discussing and deliberating right now. This is the moment for youth to step up. I'm trying to fill the airtime here. All right, so I don't know if we have anybody else. You want to do another verse?
Sure, why not?
Go for it, yeah. We'd love to hear it.
Is shit okay?
Say fudge.
Fudge? No, but shit. Yeah? All right, so... So it's about people, you know, talking-ish. So it goes talking shit, talking this, talking that, talking shit, talking crap. Fudge, your mouth stinks, I'ma smack you if you're talking back. Try to be the best, try to lead the stress, spark some spliffs, spark some bats. You try to advance behind your mans, but you don't realize that you're walking back. You just gotta be real, not necessarily from Cypress Hill. But if you're a fake or use a snake to the Jakes, great, then you might get killed. Don't fudge with popo, homo sucking dick, might as well bite the steel. If you think that you're big enough, then go to the NBA and fight Shaquille. But you best be brave, you best behave, it's reality, this ain't TV. Can't fudge with old G's, homie. Like iced tea, not referring to the nasty drink. If you don't know your role and you roll them dice, you might get sliced by Wesley's blade. Don't get fooled by that bitch from school, she got sexy legs, she got sexy AIDS. So doggy, just watch out your brain and your loud mouth. If you see me shout, the reasons I want the crowd to wild out. You're talking shit, I'm dropping hits, and that's really what I'm about. So I stay focused, notice chorus, hocus pocus, and I'm out.
Wow. Great stuff. So I see you stuck to the fudge principle there. Nice little improvisation there. We have someone else coming on? No?
You know those moments when you want to, but you won't? Those are when you should.
Yeah.
People are willing to. Try boys deliberating. I don't know if he's going to do it.
There's always going to be a first time. So after you finish the first time, you're going to... It's going to be easier again and again and again.
I'll do it again.
Rashad,
but this time, I want Triboy to get on right after me. All right?
Went to the bathroom.
You're going to the bathroom?
Yeah.
All right.
Triboy's going. He's getting out of the room. He doesn't want to be anywhere near the mic.
All right. So I'll just go off then.
Go off.
Yo, it's now or never. Let's go. Pedal to the metal. We gonna settle it tonight. The more let alone, the better. More metaphors of bullshit they fed us. I'm standing more still than ever, but yet still fed up. So bring your peoples. I'll bring my peoples. But you wouldn't tell neither far peoples apart. Blue, red, and white t-shirts from details to wife beaters. You never met us. We both speak and applaud. Collaborations between all four quadrants. About to make history. The coordinates are launching. The bordermen, I brought them in and closed off the gates. And they'll only open up once the bozos awake. Eternal ignorance. Injected till they blind. Still stunned when reality's rarely hard to find. Bottom line, how'd your eyes take a minute to think? Shit, borrow mine, you'd be resentless to blink. The most fittest I've been in ages, face it crazy. Cause I believe the truth resides all beneath the pavement. I can't look bad, could I head, it's hard to act. It's more than that, I'm the all-star rap quarterback.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you so much,
that was
great. Awesome.
Thank you for having us.
So before you go, maybe you want to talk a bit about the role of hip-hop and why hip-hop as a means of expression as opposed to something else?
Why not?
I see you rolling your eyes like you're not even sure about your question. But I don't know.
I was fed this question by somebody else.
Okay, I see. But basically hip-hop, maybe because it originated from people trying to rebel against the system or against things that they didn't see right within their community. I think it's easier to get your message across when you're maybe talking faster than when you're keeping a note. Possibly, instead of singing, you could, you know, rap. That's it, really.
Sounds like a good reason to me. Triboy's still not.
I think hip-hop, too, as a culture, crosses so many divides, you know, within our society.
Language.
It crosses language, it crosses class, it crosses culture.
It's international.
I think in terms of, like, a culture that can kind of touch many people, I think it's a really good mechanism. It is losing its value, absolutely.
It's losing its value because I remember when I was growing up, I was listening to Black Sheep, I was listening to Public Enemy, I was listening to all those people and everything. And part of my concern coming here today was that the foundation that I know is hip hop, and the foundation that hip hop is today is being kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, is being, you know,
it's being blurred.
Yeah. And I think that there needs to be a division, and the youth them need to know that the hip hop or whatever it is, the garbage they're listening to, 50 Cent and, you know, this bling, that and bling, whatever, they need to realize